Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 26, 2019. Kabbalah Conference in the city of Bologna, in northern Italy. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, the 26th of September 2019. A small, yet powerful, conference. A local, yet global, conference. A brief, yet impressive, conference. This past weekend we had a Kabbalah conference in the city of Bologna, in northern Italy. Dozens of students from Italy and neighboring European countries attended the conference. The theme of the conference was the joy of connection, and indeed, joy was felt in the air from the warm bond created between the hearts that came together as one. The goal of the conference was to organize the Italian group for a huge European conference to be held in Bulgaria in a month and a half. The socio-cultural crisis, the loss of European identity in the face of waves of mass immigration, and the EU's instability require the unification of the continent into one, and us starting to build our internal connection. Kabbalah Retreat in the Poconos. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, the 26th of September 2019. While I was giving live lessons from Italy to thousands of my students around the world, my students were holding a parallel conference to their new students. The Kabbalah Retreat took place in the Poconos, Pennsylvania, and despite the forested holiday destination offering many activities, the students were focused on building internal connections between them. Two events took place in parallel, the main event for 100 students, and the second event was for dozens of new lecturers in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Whether a student or a new lecturer, the foundation is the same: practicing the method for human connection above the separating ego, through workshops, discussion circles, dining together, and learning from the sources. My article in Newsmax: Israel remains united in its divisions. We have no nation. Division stands in our midst. Those are the results of an X-ray scan of Israel following its 22nd election. How can a nation constantly in conflict and under threat let its every sector care only about its own backyard and personal interests? The dead heat between the two main political parties and round-the-clock deal-making expected in the coming weeks to form a governing-capable coalition further highlights the great divide in Israeli society. However, discovering the wretched state we are in opens up the perfect opportunity to realize that we have no alternative but to cast a vote for unity and elect the force that connects us as a nation. How could our nation unite above its divisions? Could politicians put their egos aside and strive instead to rise above their personal benefit for the sake of a common goal? Clearly, no one is interested in doing so, but the fact is, we have no choice. We have entered an era where the nation is up against grave threats, the most vivid being Iran. Wealthy and powerful Iran is gaining support from Russia and China, and it is convenient for Iran to tag Israel as its enemy. As Iran holds a strategic position in the heart of the Mideast, its beef with Israel lets it flex its muscles in the global sphere, as well as show its readiness to escalate pressure toward that goal. After 71 years of statehood, instead of becoming stronger, we suddenly see that Israel is in an unfounded state. Our legs are stuck in quicksand, and we cannot pull ourselves out. We are a stubborn, powerful, enduring and unequivocally creative people, but in 2019's second national election, we are left again with polarization and partisan manipulation instead of choosing our good future together. Why does Israel's political spectrum look like a rough patchwork, where loose threads fray in detachment from one another? It's because we have failed to elect the one and only force governing all aspects of nature, the upper force. Once again, we have neglected the only Jewish element that justifies our existence as a people, the value of our connection. In order to come to terms with the urgent call for unity and put it into practice, Israel needs competent leadership that prioritizes rebuilding the social fabric. It will require a gradual educational process that should be led by a national unity government made up of Benjamin Netanyahu, ex-military chief Benny Gantz, and Avigdor Lieberman, with Netanyahu acting as prime minister until the rest acquire the necessary skills to govern. The job of heading a nation requires learning experience just like any other profession. But we have no academy for governing the nation, and the volatile internal and external pressures we face leave no room for trial and error. Ruling the country demands a completely different mindset than ruling the army. Although organizing our political leadership is important, we will not return to sanity until we realize that our main goal as a nation should be to eliminate our biggest enemy, our war with each other. The principle of unity that we inherited from Abraham, the father of the nation, has completely escaped us. It is a principle by which we became a nation in ancient Babylon. In its absence, we have dismantled into a loose collection of peoples and tribes. The principle of brotherly love built the temple, the connection between us, and its absence, unfounded hatred, kicked us into exile and persecution. Therefore, regardless of who will form the next government, we should certainly not depend on the guidance of a flesh and blood leader that will be replaced in 4 years or less. We need to depend on the power of society, the strength of our connection. This is and always has been the root of our salvation as a nation. In other words, it is important to cast our votes and choose our leaders as in any democracy, but our real free choice should be made on a daily basis, renewed regularly and not subject to the considerations of any government in office. At any given moment, it is worth stopping for a moment to ask, what are we living for? Why do we exist? Who runs our lives? Who runs the society we live in? Who governs us? Who is really in control? The upper force in nature drives humanity. It emerges from its hidden state when society functions harmoniously in mutual guarantee, avoust, showing us how we live in a unified system where all parts are interconnected as a singular and integral unit. Disagreement is part and parcel of our Jewishness. There is no need to eliminate or obscure our differences and divisions. Nor do we have to flatter and agree with the views of others. But we do have to bridge the abyss between opinions, to spread an umbrella of love over our differences, because love will cover all transgressions. As our ship sails forth into unknown waters, it is time to persistently emphasize the positive qualities of others and create a more harmonious society where mutual care, consideration, understanding and support prevail. By doing so, we will be able to realize how our disunity drills a hole in our ship's keel, whereas our cohesion strengthens our ability to navigate to a safe port of a bountiful land. That is the election vote we need to cast regularly for the ultimate positive outcome. My article in Newsmax, Israel at a Crossroads, Time for a Government for Everyone. If other people's failures can make us feel a bit better in our loss, Israel is not alone in the world in its political limbo after the second elections this year again left no clear winner. Similarly, Spain is headed for its fourth election in 4 years in the wake of inconclusive results from last April's polls, and in the UK, the Supreme Court ruled that Prime Minister Boris Johnson's decision to suspend Parliament, an apparent move to avoid opposition to Brexit, was unlawful, causing political turmoil. It seems humanity has advanced technologically but has regressed in terms of stability and certainty about the future. The good news is that reaching a solution does not require rocket science. The leaders just need to take the example of a family and govern accordingly. Family life is based on interdependence and built on mutual concessions. If it weren't, then any crisis could easily lead to divorce. A delicate balance is kept where, on one hand, the couple endeavors to stay close and appreciate the comfort and security that the closeness provides, while on the other hand, they maintain healthy individuality and room for personal growth. Successful couples move in a sort of mutual dance where each partner refrains from seeing the negative aspects of the other and covers disagreements with love. from independence to interdependence. In Israel, the leaders who aspire to run the country feel no interdependence. They appear to be completely separated, bearing no resemblance to a warm family. Each pursues his own justice, barricades himself in his position, and thinks of his own self-interest. Unlike family management, where negotiations are relatively easy and the damages are small in scale, at the state level, slight movements can quickly result in complicated political squabbles that risk deterioration into social crises or re-elections. Therefore, any party that barricades itself within its own position deserves no governance until it can muster the strength to relent a little in its position and pride. It is abundantly clear to everyone that the success of the State of Israel will depend on its ability to form a national unity government. This government should be like a family incorporating countless opposing views and political rivalries, yet working together, mutually compromising for the benefit of the people. It can only work this way because no unity can exist except above diverse opinions. The sages expressed it as follows: just as their faces are different, so are their opinions. In other words, just like the differences that exist between members of a family. The political approaches of the two major parties, Likud and Blue-White, are similar in character. Therefore, the current prize to be won for Israel can be taken by compromise and nothing else. Even if there is a significant conflict in the future between the two leaders, Netanyahu and Gantz, disagreements over the peace process that could deteriorate into real struggles, for instance, the National Unity Government's magic will work. Unity out of diversity. Unity accepts and contains the other, agrees to work with the different, and gives room to everyone. Unity balances the various worldviews and draws a continuous line between diverse perspectives in order to weave a single, complete vision. Unity produces a reflective and rich discourse from a smorgasbord of opinions. Israel's divided people are thirsty for solidarity and cross-sectional social cohesion, wishing beyond hope that our chosen leaders would set an example and sit together at a round table, just like in a classic family. We long for leadership strong enough to demonstrate mutual trust, one that can give up on ego and pride for the people's benefit. Good for all, good for me. Leadership that works towards such unity would inspire people with a positive spirit of becoming an example of willingness to yield self-benefit for the collective good. Why would someone be willing to give up their own particular position for everyone's benefit? Such visionary leadership is possible when one comes to realize that each of us is an integral part of a collective whole, so when everyone benefits, I am also a recipient of that goodness. This has been the hallmark governing resilience the people of Israel since time immemorial, a powerful government made up of leaders with differing views who are strong enough to transcend their private egos for our common property, the people of Israel. With such leadership, the people too will come out stronger and more united, able to rise above the prevailing divisions in society. This is the beginning of the road to heralding Israel's unity as an example for the world. Enter the sensation of the common soul. This means that every person from Israel is guaranteed to finally attain all the wonderful attainments that the Creator had contemplated in the thought of creation to delight every creature. And one who has not been awarded in this life will be granted in the next life, etc., until one is awarded completing his thought, which he had planned for him. And while one has not attained perfection, the lights that are destined to reach him are considered surrounding lights. That means that they stand ready for him, but are waiting for him to purify his vessels of reception, at which time these lights will clothe the able vessels. Baal HaSulam, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sefirot. A person should try to develop the quality of bestowal, the quality of connection between the shattered parts of the common creation, of the common soul, to connect them together, and to participate in this as much as possible. This is the implementation of the condition of love your neighbor as yourself. To the extent that he approaches or even implements the condition of love your neighbor, The inner energy shines upon him, the so-called love, the connection between the broken parts. It attracts these parts to each other and helps them form one single whole, one soul, already on a new level because egoism has entered between them with its minus and the plus became higher than the minus, that is, it grew due to minus. Therefore, a person receives a huge new soul, the quality of bestowal, the quality of attainment called the upper world. Question. While in the biological body, a person, as if, enters the sensation of this common soul. Will one continue to live in it once the body dies? Answer, one has nothing to do with the other. Our animal body is necessary in order to begin to enter this soul, to feel it and to begin building it. Question, does it mean that through our bodies, we, as if, establish the first contact with other people, and then this all happens on the sensory level? Answer, yes, and completely outside of the bodies. From CAB TV's Basics of Kabbalah, December 11, 2018. New Life Number 1152. Perceiving the Reverse World.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about, is it possible to exit our body? We feel our body. We feel life through our five senses. And this is what we know. This is what we're familiar with. Is it possible to enter a different kind of reality? Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah. I was pretty surprised to find out that scientists and doctors say that it's a pretty common phenomenon that takes place in the human mind. Dr. Jeffrey Long, which is an expert oncologist who studied 14,000 cases of out-of-body experiences, says that it's something very common. Many of his patients have experienced it, and he says that it's another proof that shows the extent to which mankind is unaware of how the mind functions, of the mind's ability. Some people try to reach out-of-body experiences consciously and describe their different journeys and so on. It's something that really interests mankind. Is it possible? And we wanted to ask, what does the wisdom of Kabbalah have to say about it? Are there really people that can exit their body? And if so, why? What for? The wisdom of Kabbalah explains it in a very simple way, I'd say. The wisdom of Kabbalah says that everything that we experience, that I exist in this great, big, broad world and everything, it's all in my perception. It's not that does it exist or doesn't it, but it exists only in my perception. And if I weren't to exist, and if I weren't to perceive that which as if exists, then I couldn't say, does it or doesn't it exist? Meaning all those things that exist, exist only in relation to what I perceive, what I grasp, in relation to myself, to my senses. So what does it mean to exit the body, enter the body? It means that I simply exchange my perception of reality. That if now I imagine myself, and this is how I feel, this is what I feel and how I feel it in my senses, that I'm living inside a body, and I feel that I'm solid, that I'm warm, that I'm sitting, and so on. So possibly, if I rise above these feelings, above these sensations, I'll feel a life that's outside of the body. And as if there's no problem to it, just to maybe stop experiencing the phenomena that's passing through me right now. I don't understand what you're saying. Repeat, please. Okay, so maybe through questions. Why for you it's not a problem? Because most of the people don't feel that they can so easily exit the body. I'm not saying that you can that easily exit the body. I'm saying that it's easy to depict what I'm talking about, that it's possible. Yeah. I feel myself. I sense reality through my body. All of reality consists of myself and what I feel. If I detach, disconnect from what I feel, then I no longer exist. The feeling of my own existence and the world that surrounds me. Is it a case of death? Sounds like it. But we just tie it to death. Maybe I can disconnect from my sense of self, from feeling myself, from feeling the environment, what's around me, without dying. Suppose many times a day I feel different phenomena and then they disappear and I feel new phenomena. What does it mean? I don't all the time feel the entire universe, the broader and the smaller universe and myself with all of my organs and everything that I consist of, meaning it comes and goes. So the question is, if suppose I reach a state where I try not to feel myself and not to be concerned or care for myself and to think about the universe in a different way and everything that goes on around me in a different way, suppose, then I'll feel myself in another world for this. I don't have to die. Suppose, if theoretically, I would stop caring about myself, then I no longer care where I am. I don't care what I feel. I don't care how does the world influence me. Were I to disconnect from my feelings, from how I am in relation to myself, and the same in regard to the world. So from here, we already see that I don't have to die. I don't need the world to disappear. But all in all, it all depends on my attitude toward who I am and where am I. That I can disconnect, detach myself from myself and from the world. And this detachment, it doesn't mean that I die. It just means that I don't feel. How can I not feel it? For example, we see that during the day, and I said this a few moments ago, that every time during the day, I change my desires, my feelings, my impressions, that something becomes more important, something becomes less important, and every time because it changes, at times I want to sleep, at times I want to eat, at times I want to do this or that, and all the time. So if I detach from all of these desires, then I'm already in a completely different reality. As if I'm already dead. Why would a person want that, as if die? No, it's not as if to die. It's not to be concerned with oneself. Maybe by this I acquire exalted, very important opportunities. So, first of all, to understand the basis, you're saying that my current perception of reality is based on a certain concern that I all the time have about myself. Yeah, for myself. And through this concern, I perceive reality. My desire is all the time concerned with what now, what about myself, plans into the future, sees the past, this is my entire perception. Yeah. And you're saying if we detach from this, then we'll perceive a different kind of reality. Yeah? Because I perceive reality through concern for myself, all the time in relation to myself, warmer, colder, better, less, bigger, smaller. I measure everything in relation to myself. It's like a kind of survival. It's not survival. It's like being in a store and every time I measure different clothes. Something new every time. And I look in the mirror and I see this more, this less, this too big, this too small, this one way, this another. This is how I see reality all the time. I don't see reality as it is. I see reality as it is in regard to myself. Because it's related to me being inside my body, I perceive reality through my five senses. And this is why I measure it in regard to myself this way all the time, through five senses. And if I get rid of them, in some way, let's call it rise above them, better put. I transcend them. So what follows is that I have a new, different reality that's abstract of measuring it in regard to myself. When people think about an out-of-body experience, they think that I as if looked at my own body from the outside, or I went someplace without my body, but simply physically and geographically I came out of my body and saw something else. How can something exist physically and geographically if I left my senses? So this sounds completely different from the out-of-body experience that people describe, different neurological experiences or phenomena. So here it's not only detaching from my body and looking at it from the outside in, but from the senses through which I perceive reality, from my connection to what I feel. I want to feel things differently. I want to exchange my vessels of perception into something else. And why do you call it coming out of the body and not the mind, for example? This is the general name for it. As if coming out of myself. Yeah. So what I understand is that it is possible to come out of the body, which means out of my desires, yearnings, goals, plans. This means to come out of the body. The body is called my general desire. So it's possible to come out of it. And when we detach from it, when we rise above it, like in an elevator that we rise to some place, we start feeling what? Then we start feeling out of body experiences. Which are what? I see you started writing immediately. No, first of all, I wanted to make sure that I understand that it's possible. Okay, now I want to hear the details. What kind of experiences? When all of this process happens and you go into that elevator and you ascend, where do you go? You reach a world which is completely good, utterly good. I saw this ad on the internet where someone invites you to go on an out-of-the-body experience, to visit places you never visited, to meet people that you never met, different kinds of relationships, the life that you always wanted, but it's a kind of an out-of-body experience in your imagination. Yeah, he teaches how to do it. So, when I watch some movie about India, suppose, or Africa, I never visited neither. So, am I in an out-of-body journey or not? What does it mean, out-of-body journey? That in body, I'm not there for sure. But still, I'm included of the different phenomena that are being passed on to me by other people. So it's not about this. Okay. So I want to ask, what is it about then? And especially, what are the experiences? Where do I go? How do I travel? What do I see? What kind of adventures? Everything that you perceive in your life, everything that you grasp it in your ego, in your desire to receive pleasure. The desire to receive pleasure is entirely all the time accompanying you and is directing you to enjoy in each and every moment, to gain as much as you can and to lose as little as possible. This is the formula. You're familiar with it. Of course, everyone is. Meaning, the body is smart, and it pushes you to do this. It's your friend, you see, it wants to your benefit. but along with it, it's very cunning. And isn't really your friend, but is actually your enemy. Why? Because by that, you are in a very limited perception of reality. To the extent to which you want, to which you can feel, perceive, grasp, swallow, and only. And the infinite reality that you're really in, it narrows down to the point of Earth, and on Earth, the place where you live, where you are, down to your apartment, down to your place, down to your body, and you live inside your body. That's it. And the entire universe, with all of its options and opportunities, you're not even familiar with them and don't know about them. Meaning, your body that forces you to live inside of it, it's your enemy, not your friend. It blocks our reality. Of course. Okay, so I wanted to ask, there's talk about parallel universes, scientists talk about it. This isn't what I mean at all. This is according to different calculations. We think that there is even matter, like in our universe, like we grasp, but in different other forms, on different kinds of axes. But this isn't what I mean. It's still matter. They say that we perceive only a tiny part of reality. Right. And every day we discover more and more. So what do you mean, if you don't mean that? I mean that we have to come out of our will to receive, to grasp, to fill ourselves, which is a limited desire in terms of our vessels, the volume of our vessel, and to start perceiving reality in an anti-form, kind of outside of ourselves, what goes on outside of us. So that I won't be a vessel of reception in Or Yashar, direct light, but in Or Chozer, reflected light. What do you mean? I have 5 senses. Yeah. Hearing, seeing, smell, taste, touch. I receive through them. In them. I perceive in them. Of course, through them. So, I get rid of them. I put this life aside. I exist, okay. But I develop my senses toward reality in a different way. In what way? Of giving. Outside of the body, that I want to perceive reality as it is outside of myself. Not to perceive the same reality in my ego and my egoistic desire to enjoy it, but to the contrary, to come out of myself. To come out of myself, it means to come out of my desire to receive pleasure, to come out of my will to receive. Where? Outside of it. Where? I have just one thing. Either myself or the other. The other person. If I come out of myself in order to reach to the benefit of others, I start perceiving a different reality, not inside myself, but outside of myself. And what do you discover there? In this out-of-body reality, you discover what really exists, what I never saw or identified. It's something that I don't exist in. So what's there? I can't explain. These are forces. What kind of forces? The forces of nature, the forces of bestowal, forces of love that do not exist in our reality. Where are they then? These forces exist outside of our reality that you and I perceive now. The forces of bestowal, they exist outside of ourselves. I also heard that what exists outside of us, our fields of information about what was, what will be, that exists. There's nothing to talk about. It's like in a computer. It exists, but it has nothing to do with perception of reality. It has to do with the intensity of the perception of reality. Times, past, present, future, they always exist at our disposal at once. So even in the reality that we perceive, there are other layers that we don't grasp. The future is more hidden, the information, the entire system that you call computer. Meaning there's this computer that we don't understand or perceive different parameters or pieces of data. What else will there be, or will we only perceive this computer? I can't even explain what. Meaning these are forces that work in order to tie all the parts of reality together, and then a person is included in such actions that are limitless. But it doesn't say anything. It's something that you can't pass on to someone else. I want to ask about the forces of love. You said that outside of the reality that I perceive now, there is a reality of forces of love. Do I understand correctly? Where is that outside of the reality that I perceive now? You perceive reality according to your qualities. Change your qualities into their opposite, and you'll see an opposite reality. I'll see it what in my imagination, in your senses, in my vision, hearing, smell, taste, touch. These will be new senses, and you'll feel in them a new reality. Okay, so again, please, why do I not feel this new reality right now? Because you lack these senses. I don't have the required senses in order to perceive it. Right. What senses do I need in order to perceive forces of love, for example? What kind of vessel of perception do I need in order to perceive forces of love? How do you perceive reality right now? How do you grasp it? You told me that I perceive it according to my desire to grasp, according to your equivalence of form, the equivalence of form between your senses and reality. So the reality before you, in it there are forces that you can grasp and perceive in your will to receive, to grasp, to acquire, to perceive. And there is a reality that you can perceive in identifying with it in your desire to bestow, to love, to give. Meaning these are qualities that are focused, concentrated on yourself, and these are qualities that are focused on what's outside of you, on others. So there are two forms of perception of reality, introverted and extroverted. So these two forms of perception, when you're saying that it's possible to come out of the body, then you mean that it's possible to exit the natural form of perception that is this kind of perception that's introverted, and then I'm limited according to the volume of my ability to perceive. And when you exit, it's not that you go someplace, but it's like making a U-turn or something when you're driving. It's changing direction. Instead of drawing inwards, it's going outwards. Yeah. And this process leads me to a different reality, if I understand correctly. This different reality, it's actually a different approach to life. Completely different. In this new approach, which is an opposite approach, I will perceive an opposite reality? Yes, it's opposite how? In everything. Give us an example. Suppose what you have on the ceiling and on the floor, it'll turn upside down. No, seriously. You mean it? No, of course not. But it's really an opposite reality. How? In its values. What values? The value of reception and the value of bestowal. Explain, please. That to the extent to which you want to give, for you, it'll become more precious than wanting to receive. That for you will be less precious, up to the point where it'll really be bad. Why will it change inside of me this way? because it gives you connection up to the point of adhesion with this tremendous entire system in which you really start feeling that you exist. What is this system? This system is called the world, or the creator, the upper force. Doesn't matter how you call it, but it's the system of nature. Nature. In Gematria, nature equals creator. Are there different stages of development in this new perception? Of course. So you start with something and then you start with connection with other people. And only after we can somehow connect to other people, we try, we can't, we ask for it to happen, then we reach connection between us, of course, by the upper force that works and helps us achieve this connection. And then in the connection between us, we start discovering this new reality. What about people that don't believe that there's an upper force? They don't have to believe. What then? They have to perform the correct connection, and then inside the correct connection, they'll discover the upper reality and the upper force. It's not something imaginary. What is it then? It's very tangible, much more tangible than what you feel right now. Right now you live only in your feelings too, in your five senses. Let's disconnect your senses, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, touch, and then you won't feel anything. Right. How can a person live in a state where he's not concerned with himself at all? You have to switch the importance. How can a mother barely care for herself but only for her baby? Please explain. Can you explain? Because she feels that he's a part of her. She feels, right? That's the answer. She feels. Here, the same. What does a person start feeling that he doesn't feel now? That the most important thing for him is the upper world, the world of bestowal, love, and connection. And his life experience, when he gets up in the morning, goes to work, comes back from work, stands in traffic, has troubles with his kids, everything that we're familiar with, his experience of life changes how. He knows what is he living for. He knows where is he living. He knows how to benefit his life. He knows how to benefit others. He is in favor of connecting with everyone and bringing them to this good life. And the main thing is that, as it says, he experiences, you shall see your world in your lifetime. He's not in a hidden world where he doesn't know what goes on today and what happens after death and so on. For him, it's all revealed that he is inside a system of forces. Last question. I know that you have a scientific view on life. You came from the world of science, biocybernetics, and so on. Our entire discussion today, someone can listen to what we talked about today and say, it's a mystical discussion. Is this discussion mystical? What is it exactly? Not at all. It has to do with the most realistic things, with the person's mind and feelings and emotions. That this is how we perceive reality through our intellect, our mind, and our feelings. And now we understand that what we started feeling in our mind and feelings, emotions, doesn't give us a complete picture of reality. And therefore, we err, and we don't know what to do, and we get blows. And all this forces us to think, how can we see the whole of reality, the correct reality, and then we reach a need to change our perception of reality into a more whole and complete perception of reality. And this means to add to it. We don't erase the reality that we live in right now, but we add to it another realm, to the contrary. And then we have a complete picture and we'll know how to exist in a good and correct way. It's to our benefit. So we just add to this current reality and opposite reality, and in these two pictures we know how to act in a complete way. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time. All the best.